The UN is at an important moment, shifting from a more reactive mode to conflict to dealing with the prevention of conflict. And the belief at the UN is that it should the policy of prevention of human rights atrocities would mean countries would abide by their international obligations, and when they do, the chances of getting into conflict would be diminished. So states that respect human rights of their citizens would deal with the issues of discrimination against different minorities and what have you, and thereby minimize the chance of conflict. So in terms of strengthening human rights, this is a big shift in the UN philosophy, and the panel discussed this yesterday, and we're looking forward to the role that all member states and civil society would play in holding the UN accountable to the sustaining peace agenda. The idea of peacemaking, if we anticipate conflict by assisting states that are fragile, we strengthen the possibility that the peace would remain. For the longest time, we have always reacted to conflicts. So now the shift to the sustaining peace agenda suggests that if we put our resources in prevention, we not only prevent the atrocities that might happen when conflict takes place, questions about accountability, for example, when war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide are committed. We can address those by making sure that society is inclusive and we can address within the national system the rights of those minorities often that tend to lead to the conflict. So this is the first point. The second point is about peace building. Peace building is a long-term effort, so oftentimes we had been reactive in the past. We come in when the war has ended and we try to fix essentially a band-aid solution. Here now we have the possibility of putting the resources up front to avoid the conflicts in the first place. But it's a long-term effort. It's not an in and an out. And the shift to the sustaining peace agenda means the international community would assist the affected state and be with it for the long term so that it doesn't relapse into conflict, because many of the conflicts now are countries that had problems with human rights and implementation of human rights, and then they have conflict and they go back to conflict. So the relapse into conflict is tied into the lack of respect for human rights. So this is how we can do better. We now are more proactive in preventing, and then we have to be there for the long term.
Yesterday, several topics have been proposed by different speakers. What are the priorities in strengthening of human rights international law?
The priorities now should start with bringing all states to the table with respect to the core international human rights instruments. We've had a lot of progress to date with the major instruments in the International Bill of Rights. There are additional instruments, 9 in total at the international level, but the focus has always been on signing and ratifying. So one of the points that was made by myself and a number of other speakers is that it's time to move to implementation. Implementation means taking on board fully the obligations in the instruments in your national system. So dealing with aspects like incorporating the instrument in domestic legislation, looking at a whole of government analysis as to how you can comply with the obligations throughout the state, not just one of the branches of government. So this is very, very important. Implementation is crucial. This is what we are saying now. And then the third point is that at the end of the day, we know these human rights are meant to affect people's lives. So we have to have the ability to give direct access to individuals who have suffered human rights violations, whether it's through some kind of redress administratively or through the courts at the national level. This is where it has to happen. Only when we fail at the national level should we turn to international options like going to Geneva, for example, through the individual complaints procedure.